Well, good afternoon and happy Sabbath. That preacher over in Corning sure was long-winded today. So then it's like hitting every red light, you know, on the way over here when you're in a hurry. Anyways, today we're looking at the path to the throne of God, part four. And the last time we looked at the path to the throne of God, I believe, was in December. So how many of you remember the path to the throne of God? Remember that book that we were going through? This is my copy, of course. This is an older copy. I'd encourage you, if you are going to do chapter reading, that you take chapters 20, 21, and 22 over the next few weeks, because we'll just go ahead and Path to the Throne of God over the next few weeks until camp meeting. So today we're looking at Path to the Throne of God number 4. And with that, since I'm busied and hurried, just take time to calm down here, if you wouldn't mind just bowing your heads with me as we invite the Lord's presence. Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity to share your word, and we thank you that the Bible is our source of encouragement and hope for these last days. May we find faith today. May we leave this congregation knowing that we have been in your presence. And Lord, I pray this hour that your words and you will be glorified, and let your words speak the truth as it is in your scripture. In Jesus' name. Amen. I would like you to open with me once again to our scripture reading in Revelation chapter 1, verses 10, 12, and through 18. Again, Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, 12, through 18. Revelation chapter 1, 12, 10, 12 through 18. John says again, he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Verse 12, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Now, underscore that here, because that's where we're going today in the sanctuary. The seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like the Son of Man, clothed with the garment down to the foot, and girt about with the paps with a golden girdle. And in his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. His feet were like unto fine brass, if they burned in a furnace, and his voice was the sound of many waters. Well, here we turn. John, on the Sabbath day, he says he's on the Spirit on the Lord's day, and he turns about, he hears a voice, and what is this? A great sound like a trumpet. He turns, and here he sees seven golden candlesticks. Well, the last lesson that we had on the path to the throne of God in the sanctuary, we spent the majority of our time over those few weeks there looking at the outer courts. And in the outer courts, we saw the altar of sacrifice and the laver. Well, today, as we enter into the holy place, we see three articles. We see the seven-branch candlestick abra there. We see the table of showbread. And we see an altar of incense. We're going to spend the next few weeks looking at those three items in the holy place. But today we turn about and we see Christ standing amongst the candlesticks. I have heard it said before by some, and some people have told me, you know, we're just sitting down here on planet Earth waiting for God to do something. You know, God really isn't actively involved in my personal life, nor does he even care about my personal life. Is God sincerely active or concerned about what's going on in my life? Well, the sanctuary message is all about Jesus and what he is doing on our behalf to save and redeem humanity. Amen? Do we realize today that the sanctuary message is all about a revelation of Christ? Everything points to Jesus. Isn't that right? And if so, today when we go into the holy place and we see these three articles, the showbread, the candlesticks, and the altar of incense, each one points to Jesus Christ. Again, I'm going to say this over and over again. The last time we went through the sanctuary, I mentioned before that from Genesis to Revelation, you have a cord that's weaved throughout the entire Bible, is that Jesus Christ came to this world to save sinners and to uplift Christ. So the whole message of Scripture is to draw our attention to the Savior. Amen? Because, friends, ultimately, we would be lost without Christ. Wouldn't you say that? So today, we see in the holy place of the sanctuary, John turns around and he sees Jesus standing amongst the candlesticks. In other words, Christ is standing in the holy place. The Bible goes on to say in Hebrews chapter 4, if you want to turn there, you don't have to, but Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, it says this, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin." So we see Christ now, who died for us, enters into the heavenly place. Now he is there, is our high priest. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 through 12, and then we're going to look at verse 24. Remember, the sanctuary is all about looking at Christ. Everything points to or symbolizes Jesus. When the high priest was officiating, he had a robe on. He was a symbol of Christ, the one who is working on our behalf to redeem humanity. Who redeems us? Christ does. Who died for us? Yeah, that was a symbol out there on the altar of sacrifice, right? When we are baptized into who? Into Christ. And so now we see a man, a high priest, who symbolizes Christ. In other words, what the message is for us today, or through the sanctuary message, is that God is actively, okay, now listen to this, God is actively involved in our redemption. In other words, God, and I've said this before, God wants to save you more than you want to save yourself. God is doing everything possible to save humanity from their sins. So when we look at this message today, when we see the high priest, it's an action. It's what God is doing on our behalf. He's trying to redeem man. Isn't that what the Bible says? He says, if I be lifted up, I will do what? What will he do? Draw all men. What is he trying to do? The whole message of the scripture and what Christ is doing is trying to save humanity. He came to die for who? Seventh-day Adventists? How many people? The entire world, right? So God is actively involved in our redemption. God wants to save you. He wants to save the entire world. He wants to save me. So we look at verses 11, chapter 9, verse 11 and 12. It says, But Christ, being come in high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and the calves, but by his own blood, he entered in what? Once, where? Into the holy place. So it goes hand in hand with the book of Revelation here. Here you see Christ, who enters into the holy place, doesn't say the most holy place, says he went into the holy place. John, on the Sabbath day, turns about and he sees Christ standing amongst the candlesticks. Where are the candlesticks? They're in the holy place. Christ is doing a work of mediation for us on our behalf in the heavenly places. What do you say? In other words, God is doing some miracle here. God is trying to combine humanity with divinity. When Adam and Eve partook of the fruit, what did they do? They sinned against God. When they sinned against God, what happened to them? What happened to them? They got put out of the garden. What happened? There was a wall of separation because of sin. And ever since then, God has been trying to deal with humanity in bringing man back into the presence of the Lord God Almighty. And I say that humbly. Is there an amen out there today? I hope you guys are alive and awake today. I know I am, running from all over the place. But God is trying to do whatever he can to bring you and I back into the presence of the holy places. And so we see Christ as a high priest trying to work with humanity and bringing them back into the presence of divinity. Christ now working and officiating in the holy place, he's bringing about that miracle where humanity is united with divinity. The Bible goes on to say, you've read these verses before, you know, if no man has seen God, lest he die, right? God is a consuming fire. So if God were to come and actually be present in our sphere right now, we would be consumed because of his glory. And that separation, why we're consumed, is because how can an unjust stand in the holy presence of an all-holy God? It can't be done. So there has to be a miracle. So we see in the holy place God uniting humanity with himself through Christ. the outer courts, when we looked at over the last five months ago, the message of the outer courts of the altar of sacrifice and the laver was about reconciliation and justification. God reconciled himself to man. In other words, while we were yet enemies, in Romans chapter 5, Christ died. In other words, while we were opposed to God, while we were separated from God, while we were not naturally inclined to spiritual things, God stepped in and drew us back to himself by the death of his son Jesus. We were reconciled to God. And the Bible says, Christ, if we confess our sins, Jesus is faithful and just to do what? Forgive us of what? All or one? All or two? All of them, right? So he justifies us by his blood. When he applies his blood upon us, we are righteous in his sight. What do you say? So, now we enter into the holy place, where God wants to sanctify us. You know what sanctification means? Remember what he said about the Sabbath day? He blessed it and what? Sanctified it. So in that word sanctification means to set apart, to make something holy, to preserve it holy. The Sabbath day was to be kept for how long? How long? Forever, right? So something can only last forever as long as it has been sanctified. So God wants to do for us what we can't do for ourselves, and that is he wants to sanctify us so that we can live in his presence throughout all eternity. Isn't that amazing, God's love? How much he loves you? He cannot bear eternity without you. He wants you to live in his presence throughout all eternity. He wants you to be there. And so he sent and he did everything at all costs, and that was dying on the cross. Now, today we're going to take an opportunity to look at the showbread. The showbread is in the holy place. And what does the bread in the Bible symbolize? What does it symbolize? What's that? That's right. It symbolizes Christ. Turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 6. And just so we can have the biblical record or the biblical account here of what bread symbolizes in Scripture, just so we're not just talking off the top of our heads here today. John chapter 6, and we're going to look at verses 48 through 51. John chapter 6, verse 48 through 51. Notice what the Bible says. Jesus says this plainly. I am the bread of what? I am that bread of life. And then he goes on to say, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that the man may eat thereof and not what? Not die. So in other words, here's the message. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not what? But have. So if you're a partaker of Christ, and if you eat of Christ's body, you shall live what? Forever. How many of you want to live forever? Just a part of you? I hope everybody's hands would go up. Maybe help your neighbor get their hands up there. I don't know. But how many of you want to live forever? Amen? We want to live forever, right? We want to live in the bliss of eternity without sin, without death, without sorrow, all that stuff gone, decay, all that stuff, right? I'm getting tired of this weather. I know in heaven it's going to be perfect. 70 degrees straight across the board. Cool breeze, 24/7. Maybe somebody else say, no, 80, right? I want to get off planet Earth. I'm tired of it. But he says, if you are partake, basically what he was saying, I am that bread. So the bread in the sanctuary symbolizes Christ. And the high priest partook of that bread on a daily basis, and they replenished that bread once a week. And I hope I got my record straight here, but they partook of that bread. In other words, Jesus is saying that you have to eat of me if you want to what? Verse 53 says it, verily I say unto you, except you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink of his blood, you have no life in you. In other words, we must be partakers of the flesh of Christ. And how do we do that? Through the word. I gave myself it. Through the bread. I said it ahead of time. You got to eat the bread. You got to eat the bread that came down from heaven. You got to partake in Christ. But how do we eat and partake in Christ? It's not just communion service, by the way. Communion service, when we break the bread, it's a symbol of Christ's body being broken for us. Isn't that right? And we partake of that bread, we're saying when we eat that bread that Christ, we cannot cleanse the heart, only you can. God wants to transform the inside out, not from the outside in. Amen? We can do a good work of transforming the outside. I mean, after all, I got my suit and tie on today. I look pretty good. What do you think? Got my hair brushed and all that stuff. I look pretty good, pretty decent. Do I look like a guy who's full of sin and got all kinds of sinful problems? Some of you are saying no, but I do. I got a lot of problems in my life. A lot of sinful traits that... Talk to my wife. She'll tell you all about them. But anyways, I can look good on the outside. I can come to church. I can pay my tithes, my offerings. I can hold my Bible up and stuff like that. But inside, can a leopard change his spots? Can an Ethiopian change the color of skin? Neither you who are accustomed to do evil can do righteous. We need the indwelling of Christ to sanctify and to renew. And how do we do that? By partaking of the bread of life. What is the bread of life? It symbolizes Christ. But also, how do we are partakers of Christ? What did Jesus say when he was tempted by the devil? Man shall not live by what? But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Amen. So the bread also symbolizes God's holy word. What is that? The Bible. Thank you. It's the Bible. How many of you want to be partakers of God's divine nature? Only a couple of your hands. A little more. You guys are getting there. Being a partaker of God's nature, His divine nature. If we are to partake of Christ's body to live forever, how do we do that? Through the study of His Word. John chapter 1 verse 1 tells us that Jesus was the Word that became flesh. In other words, that flesh is the Word of God. If we want to partake of Christ's body and live forever, we must study God's Word. What do you say? Friends, we can't just spend time in the Bible just once a week. We can't spend time in God's Word just, you know, for a couple of moments of day. You know, it's like eating crumbs. How many of you can survive on crumbs? Maybe some of you can. I don't know. How many of you eat three meals a day? Or two meals a day? How many of you eat at least one meal a day? If you don't eat that meal, what happens? What happens? You start getting hungry. And friends, there's some truth to that about being spiritually fed. Amen? Scarcely will we skip a meal, and sometimes maybe we have too many meals in the day, but scarcely will we skip a meal to satisfy our hunger. But what about our spiritual hunger? No wonder many of us are spiritually lethargic because we don't spend time in God's Word. We don't take the opportunity to eat from it and to dive into it and to partake of the bread of life, the meat of God's Word. I'm guilty as just everybody else. You know, I don't got time. You know, time gets ahead of me. My kids get up sometimes before I do, or I'm not ready to get up and they are. Or, you know, you got 5 minutes until you got to be somewhere. We're all guilty of time factor. But we're also guilty of buying those books as devotions that have one-liners at the top and then an author's explanation of that one particular verse. And we say, I've been fed today. That's like eating crumbs. You can't do that. You've got to get into the Word if you want to be spiritually alive. Well, I'm going to read just through a few of these just so for time's sake. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, you can write these down or try to follow. I'm going to go through these quite rapidly. But what does the Word of God do? In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible says, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder in soul and spirit and of the joint and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. In other words, the Word of God convicts us of sin. Thank you. The Word of God convicts us of our sin. How do we know sin unless we study God's Word? How do we know right and wrong unless we study God's Word? How do we know that we're out of the fold of Christ unless we study God's Word? It's just like those Pharisees and those Sadducees. They said, Lord, did we not cast demons out in your name? Did we not do this in your name? Did we not do this? He says, I never knew you. Why? It's because the outward appearance looked holy, but the inside was void of God's character. How do we achieve, or how do we get God's character? Through the study of His Word and conviction. And when the Word of God convicts us of our sins, it then drives us to who? To Christ. Because once I see my sinfulness, there's no way out of my sin or redemption for my sin unless I go to Jesus and appeal His forgiveness. And He says, if we confess, He will do what? He will forgive. So in other words, the Word of God convicts us of our sins, but at the same time, it also cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Psalms 119 and verse 9, the Bible says, wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way, or lady, taking heed thereunto according to your word. In other words, the Word of God cleanses the man from sin. The Word of God comes into the life and it transforms from the inside out. That's something we can't do, but when we study and spend time in God's Word, it cleanses us and it convicts us. I've heard people say, and I've said it in my life as well, how can I ever overcome this particular sin? How do I get away from this sin? Oh, it's impossible. Friends, it's not impossible. Psalms 119:11, it says, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. In other words, the Word of God enables us and strengthens us to resist temptation and sin. You ever want to flee and run away from temptation? You want power to overcome the devil? Then get into God's Word. In other words, the Word of God enables us to be partakers of the divine nature. It enables us to come into the presence of God because it convicts us of sin, it provides a way out of sin, and it also gives us strength to resist sin. And sin is what separates us from God. And that's all partaking of the bread, the Word of God. Notice this from the book Path to the Throne of God. The Word of God cleanses and refines and ennobles our lives and enables us to be true servants of God. Let me read that again. The Word of God cleanses, it refines, it ennobles our lives and enables us to be true servants of God. It convicts, it cleanses, and it helps us to resist temptation. And finally, it sanctifies. Turn with me to John chapter 17. In verse 17, it sets us apart. John 17 and verse 17. It's a simple verse. It's a small little verse. But John 17, verse 17, the Bible says, Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is what? Thy word is truth. So the Word of God sanctifies us. The truth of God's word sanctifies us. It sets us apart. It cleanses the body, it cleanses the soul, and it's all from studying God's Word. Friends, in other words, you cannot survive a day without studying God's Word. And I know that some of us have gone for weeks, maybe even months, without even opening the Scriptures. Well, no wonder we're not finding victory in our lives. No wonder we're not experiencing Christ. No wonder we're not participatory of His nature. It's because we're not studying His Word. We'd rather watch the Jetsons and Woody Woodpecker than spend time in His Word. We'd rather send a bunch of emails and talk to our friends and go over advertisements and buy and sell on eBay all day than study His Word. How can we ever think that we will accomplish sanctification in the life if we don't study His Word? It's an impossibility. Sanctify them through thy word, or thy truth. Thy word is truth. Finally, also the Bible tells us how to live. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Bible is given to us to give us reproof, to give us correction, to give us instruction in righteousness. How many of you want to live a righteous life? How many of you want to live a holy life to God? Friends, you've got to study the Word. The Bible tells us how to live. It brings conviction. It tells us how to live a righteous life. That the man of God may be perfect. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, "Be ye therefore perfect as my Father in heaven is what? Perfect." How do we accomplish that? Through the study of God's Word. Powerful. The testimony of inspiration for us today. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 through 23, the Bible says this, "Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, seeing that you love one another with a pure heart, being born again." How many of you like that born again experience? I want to be born again. I want revival in my life. I want to continue in that born again experience. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God. You can continue to walk in that new life experience. You can continue to walk in that born again experience by spending time and studying God's Word on a regular basis. Because when we spend time in God's Word, what are we really doing? We're spending time with Jesus. We're spending time with Jesus. Oh, people have said, "I want to hear God's voice. I wish God would speak to me." Friends, this is how God speaks to you. When we study God's Word, we're spending time with Jesus. And what better person to spend time with than Christ? Amen? Especially when you got to face the daily trials. You know what I'm talking about. Those people that don't care about you too much. The job, the bosses that wish you worked more. The bills when they come in. The devil that's on your back. What better than to spend time with Jesus? What do you say? So in other words, when we spend time in the Word, we're spending time with Christ. And when we're spending time with Christ, we're partaking of that divine nature. We're partaking of that unity between divinity and humanity. We're partaking of God's presence. We're partaking of God's holiness. You want to experience God? Then spend time in His Word. You can't expect to be overcomers. You can't expect to be Christ-like if you don't spend time in His Word. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. And I'll wrap this up here for you. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, the Bible says, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises." What are these precious promises? It's the Word of God. These precious promises are the Scriptures. These precious promises are the hope that gives us hope to meet tomorrow. These precious promises are challenges for us that, hey, if He can do it, I can do it. If God can heal a sinner, He can heal me. If God can take care of David, He can take care of me. They're promises for us to live in the 21st century a righteous, holy life. But most importantly, I underlined this and highlighted it in my Bible. "Whereby are you given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises, by the word of God, that you might become or might be partakers of the divine nature." You want to be partakers of God's presence? Do you want to experience God daily in your life? Do you want to experience His holiness regularly? It's possible through the Word of God. It's possible through the Word of God. You mean sinful man such as myself can experience the righteousness and the character of God in my... Yes! By spending time in the Word. And when we spend time in the Word, we're spending time with Jesus. And guess what? Jesus says, "Lo, I am with you, what? Always." So when a man comes into the holy place, he is expecting that man will live a holy life. But the first principle that must be applied in the Christian character is not the baptism, is not acknowledging, accepting Christ as your Savior. It's to continue on steadfastly growing in sanctification. And how is that accomplished? Through the study of His Word. That's where it becomes our responsibility. God cannot force you to study the Bible. God cannot force you to open His letters to you. God cannot force you. That's where it takes our challenge. That's our challenge. But we can pray for help. We can pray for strength to study His Word. And I want to challenge you that this week, maybe it's been a long time since you've dusted off your Bible or a long time since you've picked up your Bible. Maybe it's time to throw the old TV out the second story window and let it crash to the ground or drag it behind your four-wheel drive pickup or whatever you need to do. Maybe it's time to get rid of the old TV and spend time in God's Word. Friends, you can't be sanctified and changed by watching Days of Our Lives. You can't be sanctified and changed by watching Danny Shelton or Doug Batchelor. You have to, what did Jesus say? You personally have to eat of my flesh. When we are partakers of just listening to the preacher or listening to the Doug Batchelors or listening to Danny Shelton or turning on 3BN, it's like eating the scraps, it's like eating the leftovers, it's like eating the crumbs that fall to the floor. The meat is in the Bible. The meat is in these two covers right here. That's how we become partakers of God's divine nature. We're not going to get to heaven because Danny Shelton told me so. We're not going to get to heaven because Doug Batchelor said this or said that. The only way we're going to get to heaven is through Christ and the study of His Word. It's high time that we as Adventist Christians wake up to the realities of partaking of the divine food that comes from heaven, and that is His Word. Now I want to give you a little hope here. Do you remember the story of Jesus taking that few loaves of bread and feeding a multitude of people? You remember that story? There is a spiritual application for us here today. I've had people say, you know, hey, Pastor, I study the Bible, and it's like one ear out the other. When I pray, it's like bricks dropping out of my face, hitting the floor. It just seems like when I study, nothing happens, and I have a hard time getting past 5 minutes, 10 minutes. How do people study for an hour, and so on and so forth? And I challenge them. I said, you know what? Spend 5 seconds of your day reading the Bible, close the Bible, and if that's all you can do, then stop. But tomorrow, do it for 10, and then triple it every day, and before you know it, you'll be at an hour in God's Word. Jesus took what little that little boy had, and He multiplied it and fed 1,000. God can take what little we consume in our lives. In other words, we may spend hours in the Word and only get just a few pieces there, but God can take that little bit and multiply it in our lives. God can take what little bit we store in our lives and He can multiply it, but that doesn't give us an account and say, you know what, I'll just read 2 or 3 minutes a day and God can bless that. But God can take what little we comprehend and He can multiply it to His blessing. God can multiply our time in His Word. But the challenge is, will we eat of Christ's flesh? On page 172 of The Path to the Throne of God, it says this, In order for us to grow in Jesus, we must partake of the Word of God. The Word of God is the living bread, giving refinement, wisdom, cleansing, spiritual strength and endurance, and finally, sanctification and eternal life, all in the Word of God. How many of you want endurance? You don't have to raise your hand every time I ask a question, but how many of you want endurance? How many of you want refinement? How many of you want wisdom? How many of you want cleansing? How many of you want spiritual strength and endurance? How many of you want sanctification and finally eternal life? It's all found in the Word of God. So then, when a man enters into the holy place or into the sanctuary of God, he comes into the presence of God, but also too, in order to live a sanctified life, it's expected that we are to grow in the knowledge and the wisdom of His Scriptures. We cannot grow spiritually if we do not study His Word. Otherwise, it's all an act of works. I look holy, I look good on the outside, I smell good, I might even taste good. But all you're doing is faking the minister or the elder or the other persons in the church. God knows. We must spend time in God's Word. I want to challenge you this week to take time to spend it in God's Word each day. Study like you've never studied before. Study as if your life depended on it. And study if you were going to die tonight. Because God's Word sanctifies us. So Christ appeals to you, spend time with me every day. And when we spend time with Him, He will pass on to us the blessings that we need in order to live in this world. Oh, Father, we thank You so much for giving us Your Son, Jesus, that we might have eternal life. Thank You, Lord, that You have called us into a divine relationship where humanity may meet divinity. Thank You that You have united us together through Your Son, Jesus. But help us, Lord, today to be partakers of Your divine nature through the study of Your Word. Impress upon us, lay upon our hearts the burden to study and the desire to spend time in the Bible. Let the Scriptures come to life to us. May they refine us. May they sanctify us. May they draw us into a closer relationship with You. Thank You, Jesus, that in the Scriptures You want to speak to our hearts, that You want to speak to us, and You want to spend time with us. And it's only when we study Your Word that You can truly spend time with us and to develop our characters to make them more like You. Thank You, dear Lord, for the plan of salvation and for redeeming us. Now today is my prayer that each of us will go away knowing that we have been in Your presence and that You have made us holy because of Your death on the cross. Bless us, I pray, in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen.